Could you all hear me?
Yes, hello. Ma'am.
Only now, or could you hear the Dhyana Shlokas?
Couldn't hear the Dhyana Shlokas.
Oh, okay. I was self-muted, looks like. Anyway, I hope you've all, told the Dhyana Shlokas, because I was going through the slides. But I will start the session now. Okay, I can hear somebody else speak, so let me just mute them. Okay. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om. So Mali, I hope I'm audible. Huh? I'm just trying to check. And can you also see the webcam?
Yeah, I can. You're also audible.
Okay, thank you. So last week, I think I made a mistake. I had not, shared the screen. So I request one or two of you who are regular to actually drop me a note so that, I know your email ID and your WhatsApp number. My ID is sivaraman.rama@gmail.com, so that, I know in case my webcam is not working or I'm not able to share the screen, right? So I would correct it right at the beginning. Okay, let's start. So today, I said that I will give you all a summary of chapter 2. Because we will be starting chapter 3 from the next class, right? So, as I said earlier, the second chapter and the 18th chapter are the most important chapters, because in these two chapters, Lord Krishna actually condenses the entire Gita teachings, right? In the second chapter, he summarizes the entire Bhagavad Gita, and so that what will come in the later chapters, we will have a very short overview here. So the following chapters are basically magnification of the second chapter, and because it has so many different subjects and topics, again the 18th chapter would summarize this, right? So let us quickly see what chapter 2 contains, and if people have not gone through the recordings of the chapter 1 and 2, some of this may seem abstract. But there is nothing to be worried about, because starting from chapter 3, Lord Krishna himself will dwell into all the details, and therefore we will also get an opportunity to go through this subject in detail again, right? So, in chapter 1, we actually saw Arjuna discovering the problem of samsara, right? We saw that. And in the context of the normal human beings like you or me or anybody else, what would happen is, in life we would be so busy with what we term as pancha anatma, that is body, mind, right, family, possessions and profession. So all through our life we get entangled in one or more of these, and we are constantly getting battered, because we see Sometimes we see success and then the success is short-lived. Sometimes we have difficulties and at that time we feel, why me, etc. But there is a stage in one's life where we actually discover the problem of samsara. May happen gradually or may happen suddenly as it appears in the Gita in the during the war, beginning of the war. Right? So stage one is the discovery part, or it's the first stage of a spiritual seeker. So we saw that in chapter one, and actually we will see Arjuna going through stages 2, 3, and 4 very quickly in the first few stanzas of chapter 2. So the stage 2 is first acknowledging helplessness, right? That I do have a problem and I need help. And then stage 3 is actually seeking external help. And then stage 4, which is surrender or Guru Sharanagati, complete surrender to the Guru, right? So all this we are going to see in the first few stanzas of chapter 2. We already saw that and we will actually see the summary today, right? So the topics that are going to be covered in chapter 2 or were covered were Arjuna Sharanagati 1 to 10, Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga from 11 to 38, Karma Yoga from 39 to 53, and Sita Prajna Lakshanani from 54 to 72. But today, for ease of, you know, arranging and presenting, we will do topic 1 first, followed by topic 3, and then we will do topic 2 and then topic 4 in that order. So, the first one is Arjuna Sharanagati from 1 to 10, right? So Arjuna chooses to surrender to Lord Krishna because he discovers the problem of samsara in the battlefield, right? So only certain situations allow us to actually surrender to the Lord, right? So raga, we saw, was the first and most powerful expression of samsara, right? Attachment, right? It is called a problem because whenever I get attached to a person or object or situation, I am allowing that external world to determine my emotional state, right? So I actually mortgage my mind at the altar of the world. People are able to influence me. Any of the pancha anatmas, if something happens, it is able to impact me. And that is the problem of samsara. The pancha anatma, as I said, is body, mind, family, positions and profession, right? So what happens is the attachment causes delusion. We saw raga, shoka, moha, etc. And when we get overly attached and deluded, we lose the free will, right? To actually exercise the choice of decision. That's what happens, right? And when we are emotionally disturbed, we are not even able to listen to like something like Gita, because we need a calm mind to first of all listen and absorb, right? So such is the state of Arjuna. In the first chapter, we saw that, right? So it was very, very important that Krishna permits Arjuna to go through this, right? So we saw that he expressed his extreme grief and he is also deluded and he wants to actually run away from the battlefield, right? So this is now from the, as I said, the last three stages of, you know, the stages 1 to 4 that we saw, the last three stages we will see happening very, very quickly in the first 10 verses, right? So, that is what we are going to see, we saw in the topic 1 or Arjuna Sharanagati. And the important verses that we saw were 6th verse and the 7th verse. And in the 6th verse, if you remember, we had a turning point, right, where Arjuna, as if, you know, Lord Krishna was also very confused, he uses the word, moreover, we do not know which one of these two courses is better for us, whether we should conquer them or whether they will conquer us, and killing whom we will not be even in a position to actually enjoy the success, right? So what happens is, in the Mahabharata, in reality, after the war, right, Mahabharata, all of them perished except about 7 or so members. right, of the family. So basically all of them get so depressed after the war that Dharmaputra goes through a very, very deep depression, and finally they hand over the kingdom to Parikshit and go away. So here Arjuna is imagining all those things and has asked Krishna, you know, we do not know which one is better. Actually, it was not a problem with Krishna. It was Arjuna who went through this confusion, right, and helplessness, right? So therefore, he is having various conflicts on whether to fight or not. Even if we fight, whether we will win or not. And even if we succeed, whether the success will give happiness or not. And Lord Krishna is inwardly smiling. Why? Because he is getting an opportunity to share his teachings with a student like Arjuna. Because every jnani, every teacher would love to share this beautiful teaching with a student or one or more students, right? So he is seeing that Arjuna is going to go through that helplessness and actually seek external help and come to him for as a teacher. He is going to see the change. So Krishna is smiling. This is a very important verse, right? Verse 6. So all the important verses are marked with a star. So in case you want to get by heart and, you know, later on, chant from memory, you can use all these verses that have been listed in the slides today. Then the other verse that we saw, which was very, very important, was the 7th verse, right? And in this crucial verse, actually Arjuna expressed, after expressing his helplessness, he actually says, teach me who has surrendered to you. So, shadimam tvam prapannam, right? Because Arjuna explicitly surrenders to Krishna. Krishna is going to teach or impart the teaching, right? It is very, very important for the student to seek and accept a teacher, and a teacher accepting the student, and only then the teaching should be transferred. So, Arjuna is actually asking Krishna to take him, accept him as a disciple. This happened in verse 7. Karpanya dosha upahata swabhavaha. So lift me from this, right? My mind is overpowered by misery, right? And tell me what is right for me, right? So that was in verse 7. Now after this, we will move on to topic 2, which is karma yoga, right? So although the next topic as per the order in Bhagavad Gita is Jnana Yoga, we will do the summary of Karma Yoga first before we go to Jnana Yoga, right? So, from verse 39 to 53, Lord Krishna talks about two levels of karmas, Vishesha Karma Yoga as well as Samanya Karma Yoga, right? This is very important, understanding the difference between Vishesha Karma Yoga and Samanya Karma Yoga. Vishesha Karma Yoga is presented in the important verse Karmanyevadhikaraste, right? Now scriptures talk about specific spiritual exercises which are meant for preparing the mind for spiritual knowledge. Just like for fitness we talk about special exercises, going to the gym with a trainer, etc. We have to allot regularly time for these exercises in order to prepare ourselves for Jnana Yoga, spiritual fitness for Jnana Yoga, right? So we call them Niyata Naimittika Karmani or Vihita Karmani or Nishkama Karmani, any of these. And also during the Karma Yoga sessions, we saw it is referred to as Pancha Mahayajna. We saw this in Introduction to Vedanta. We also saw this in Chapter 2. And in Chapter 3, we are going to see in detail about Pancha Maha Yajna. Pancha Maha Yajna being Pitri Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Deva Yajna, Manushya Yajna and Rishi Yajna. We are going to see that, right? So, Deva Yajna is all types of religious prayers, etc. Pitri Yajna is whatever we do, reverential contribution to living parents as well as the ancestors, Shraddham, Tarpanam, etc. Manushya Yajna is the first service that we do to fellow human beings. Right from a simple smile to giving time to people to talk, all of those come under Manushya Yajna. Plus, of course, the usual contribution, service to fellow mankind. Brahma Yajna is, you know, the what we do, Rishi Yajna or Brahma Yajna is what we do for the scriptures, chanting, etc., or maintaining the Vedas, etc. And Bhuta Yajna is reverential contribution to animals and plants without expecting anything in return, awards, etc. So all of this is referred to as Vishesha Karma Yoga, right? So Vishesha Karma Yoga refers to Pancha Maha Yajnani, because there is often a confusion in the minds of people as to, is Karma Yoga performing your daily duties in office? So it is important to understand that Vishesha Karmani refers to Pancha Maha Yajnaha, Samanya Karmani refer to your daily duties, right? Now in your daily duties, if you go to office, you know, like sort of clean your office or do your work properly, you convert every action into worship, work worship with Ishwara Arpana Bhavana. We saw this in detail and we will see it also again. So when you do your work with Ishwara Arpana Bhavana, that means you have committed, you have whatever results come, you are going to accept it without any complaints. You just do it sincerely. So that is also one form of Karma Yoga, except that they are Samanya Karmani, right? Your day-to-day work, your duties and responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, father, as well as in office and with your, you know, normal work that you carry out with others. So that happens to be Samanya Karmani, right? So thus by following both Vishesha Karma Yoga and Samanya Karma Yoga, with just a change in attitude, right, of Ishwararpana Bhava, that is, when you are doing the work also, do it with sincerity and a reverential feeling towards the God and acceptance of the results also that way. If you do it with this Ishwararpana Bhava, then this Karma Yoga can help you prepare for a spiritual journey, right? So this is the topic that we are going to be, we saw in 39 to 53, verses 39 to 53 of the second chapter, right? So in that we also saw the four letters RIDE, right? R-I-D-E, I hope you remember this, otherwise you can see the Karma Yoga slides in the introduction to Vedanta that we did. So R in chapter 2 we covered. Now R is reduce all adharmic actions gradually. What are avoidable adharmic actions? There may be some lives which are completely avoidable. There may be some things by which you are using say some strong pesticides to kill some animals or some bees or something, right? You can try and see if you can avoid that and use something else, right? And there may be lives which are avoidable, right? So start living alertly towards ethical and moral values. That is what is R. Reduce all adharmic actions gradually. I is increase dharmic activities through Panchay Mahayajna. And D is dedicate all the activities as a worship to God. And E is experiencing the future as it unfolds as my own karma phalam, right? Coming from Ishwara Prasada, right? I am not to judge the karma phalam as success or failure. I just do the work by dedicating the work to God. And I do it with utmost sincerity and reverence, right? And I don't react. So when I have this attitude, as we saw, it will result in FIR reduction. FIR is, if you remember, it's frequency, intensity and recovery period, right? After an emotional disturbance, right? That would start reducing because we start working with this Ishwararpana Bhava. Now, the benefits derived from RIDE is, we have seen 4S, right? I'm not getting into the detail now, which is self-respect will increase. There will be serenity and there will be harmony around us because we are more a contributor than a consumer. And most importantly, it will lead to spiritual growth gradually. And the craving for Jnana Yoga would automatically start coming in and it would prepare us for the Jnana Yoga journey. So the Jivatma Improvement Program that we saw in the first session of the webinar would start taking effect, right? So that is RIDE. RIDE is an acronym that we use with Karma Yoga. Now, there are some of the important shlokas in this portion of Karma Yoga, right? Verse 38 is a very, very important shloka. Sukha dukke same kritva labha labho jaya jayo. Here we saw how it is very, very important for a person to maintain balance amidst favorable and unfavorable conditions. Lord Krishna actually talks about this in verse 38, where he is switching from Jnana Yoga topic to Karma Yoga topic, because ultimately Krishna is wanting to communicate to Arjuna that he is supposed to perform his duties, right? And his duty currently in the at this stage is to fight the Mahabharata war. So from Jnana Yoga, he is moving towards Karma Yoga topic in verse 38. This was the transition shloka that we saw. And he is speaking about Swadharma, Anushtanam, etc. Right? And maintain a poise or samatvam, right? Bring about a have an equanimous mind by following Karma Yoga. That is what he wants to say. Therefore, 38 happens to be a transition shloka, right? And the other important shloka was the 41st shloka, where he spoke about, Lord Krishna spoke about Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Okay? So, this is very, very important. And the first charity that Arjuna should have is that he should practice Karma Yoga, and in the future I have to enter Jnana Yoga. This knowledge must be clear in his mind. Vyavasayatmika means which is clear and firm, a non-wavering knowledge, right? This is one. And the second important clarity that he should give is, I should give Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga importance, because I need to go through Karma Yoga to get prepared for Jnana Yoga, and through Jnana Yoga attain liberation. So, one should know the difference between worldly success, material success and spiritual success, and understand that spiritual success is far superior, right? So, this is very, very important for Arjuna to know and understand clearly the difference between the two and what he is supposed to do at that point in time, because we are in the Karma Yoga portion of the teaching, right? So, very important clarity that he needs to have is, what is the means to attain moksha and what is the stepping stone? So, the stepping stone is Karma Yoga. This clarity one should have. So, 41st verse is also very, very important. Then, 45th verse talked about Traigunya Vishya, right? About Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, etc., right? It spoke about that, and it spoke about developing the tolerance or titiksha, right? So, very important to be mindful. So, this was the other important verse that we saw, which is verse number 45, right? So, then these are the three important verses. Not that other verses are not important, but we picked up the most important verses. There are other verses like also in this chapter, which are important. The entire chapter is important, right? Only the key ones have been listed. Then, we will now move to the second topic, because we just completed third topic. The second topic of chapter 2 is Jnana Yoga or Sankhya Yoga from 11 to 38. Now, this is very important. Here, Krishna, as I said earlier, directly starts talking about a very, very subtle knowledge, which is Atma Jnanam, right? Now, from 11 to 38 and especially from 11 to 25, the main message Lord Krishna himself gives is, Atma or Self is not the body or mind or sense organs, right? They are nothing, right? The mind or sense organ is nothing but inert material complex, right? So, Atma is of the nature of consciousness. This is what is talked about here. It is Chaitanya Swarupaha, right? The innermost invisible essence of every individual, right? And then we saw about the five features of consciousness. We said consciousness is not a part product or property of a body. It is an independent principle which pervades the body and makes it alive or sentient, and it is in the body but not of the body. And third point is, consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. It is all pervading like space, right? And this is the third feature. And the fourth is, consciousness continues to exist even after the material body disintegrates. The medium goes away, but not consciousness, right? Exactly like how when you remove the bulb, the electricity continues, but the light is gone because there is no bulb to manifest, right? So consciousness is eternal. And then the fifth point is, the surviving consciousness after the death of the body is not accessible to us for transaction, as there is no medium through which it can express. Now all this we saw Lord Krishna talking about from verses 11 to 38. He explained about each of the features. We'll quickly see the list of features and their corresponding verses, right? And so this real Atma, right, is exactly like the moonlight, right? It is how we experience moonlight. But the moonlight, the light of the moon, does not belong to the moon. It is basically sunlight, right, which we call as moonlight, right? And we conclude that it belongs to the moon. But in fact, it is not a part, product or property of the moon. It belongs to the sunlight, which is reflecting, right? So Lord Krishna says, consciousness that you experience in the body does not belong to the body. It is an independent principle. He has described it in several words, right? If you see, he talked about Nityaha, eternal, in verse 12. He spoke about Nirvikaraha, changeless, in verse 13. Satyam, right? Independently existent, in verse 16. And Ekam, or one, in verse 17. And Sarvagatam, all pervading, in verse 17. Aprameya, beyond the sensory organs, in verse 18, Akarta and Abhokta in verse 19, right? So they are all the glories of the Atma, right? Very, very important. Lord Krishna dealt with it in very great detail, and we are also going to see a lot of it in chapters that are dedicated to Jnana Yoga, right? So very importantly, all of these got covered in the very beginning of the Gita in chapter 2, in the first few stanzas, from starting from 12th verse onwards, right? So the other thing that we also saw was Lord Krishna tried to convince Arjuna from three different angles to fight the war. The first one being the spiritual angle from 12 to 13, dharmika angle, ethical angle, saying this is a dharma yuddham. You must fight this war, right? Because the war is between dharma and adharma, and they are wronged people, right? They have done a lot of wrong, the Kaurava, so it is your duty to fight. So that's the dharmika drishti. And laukika drishti, or worldly angle, from 34 to 37, right? So in 34 to 37, he spoke about Arjuna being very great, you know, like he is even revered by the devas and all, everybody is in awe of him, right? He is a great charismatic personality. So he used a worldly angle, saying that if you run away from here, people will laugh at you, etc. Right? A normal worldly angle. But the most important message was in the spiritual angle from verse 12 to 30, where all of Atma's features were discussed in detail. Right? Now the important verses here, right? 16th verse is an important verse. We are not actually going to be discussing too much in detail about this, because then I would have to restart the entire Jnana Yoga subject. We will look at it later also. But this was very, very important about how asat and it discusses about the spiritual truth, the essential truth, right? Which is the Atma, and Atma will never become non-existent. That was the discussion in this important verse 16. Then we also saw verse 19, right, where Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, right, that this you cannot kill this Atma, right? It is neither killed nor can kill, right? A very, very profound verse, right? So basically, Lord Krishna talks about the higher nature of all of us, which is the Atma, and from that plane and that perspective, you are neither a Karta nor a Bhokta. So this was verse 19, which is a very, very important verse, right? And then, of course, verse 20, right? A very, very important verse talking, Najayate Mriyateva Kadachit Nayam Bhutva Bhavitana Bhuyaha. The Atma is neither born at any time, nor does it die. It will neither come to existence, nor will it disappear again. Very, very important verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita is verse 20. We saw that. And then we also saw verse 21, right, which is again another important verse, and where Krishna spoke about Atma, right, in verse 21. Now, the most important point that we need to note here is, suddenly Krishna switches, right, the subject itself in a particular verse, which is in verse 22, right? So, I thought it is better for me to remind you about this. In verse 22, Lord Krishna speaks about Vasansi jirnani yata vihaya navani grinnati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. Right? Just as a person gives up worn up clothes and puts on other new ones, so also this Atma gives up worn out bodies and puts on other new ones and attains other new ones. Now, when you read this, you may wonder, we just spoke about Atma being all-pervading, Nityaha, right? Aprameyaha, all of that we saw. And then why does Krishna speak about this Atma giving up the worn-out bodies? Now, it is very, very essential for us to understand that, just to remind ourselves, whatever we spoke about in Introduction to Vedanta or Tattva Bodha, right? Our body as per the scriptures, right, has three different aspects. The visible body, which is the finite, right? The achetanam, achetanam means which doesn't have sentiency, right? And it has borrowed consciousness. That is our physical body that we see. And we also saw an invisible body. What is that? It's a sukshma shariram and karana shariram, right, of the body, of the sharira trayam. There is a sukshma shariram and a karana shariram along with the reflected consciousness that we saw. We saw in great detail about Vishva, Taijasa and Pragnya, right? So, please refer Introduction to Vedanta slide notes again. Taijasa and Pragnya being the reflected consciousness in the sukshma shariram and karana shariram. So, this part of it is invisible body, right? It is finite, right? Because it is part of the sharira trayam. It is having a achetanam part, and then it has a borrowed consciousness, which is nothing but the reflected consciousness, and this part is invisible. So, we can see a physical body. There is an invisible body, which is the sukshma shariram and karana shariram, which is there. And then we have the invisible Atma, which we just now, you know, saw Lord Krishna talking about sarvagataha, sarvagata nityaha, satyaha, right? Nirvikaraha, aprameyam, all of that. That is the Atma which is all pervading, right? So what we need to remember here is Krishna actually has been speaking about the third bullet point here, which is the sarvagata Atma till now, but he is going to make a slight departure in this particular verse, and we must always remember that contextually we have to interpret this whenever we are going through the shlokas. And Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam talks about this, and whenever we see also we will make this distinction, but it is very important to remember this. Therefore, there are two Atmas that we are talking about. Atma number one is the all-pervading, non-traveling Atma. Obviously, if it's all-pervading, it has to be non-traveling Atma. Sarvagataha ekam, the one essential satyam, the truth, and which is eternal, nityam. That is Atma number one. Atma number two is the invisible body which is blessed by Atma, which is finite and traveling, right? it is very important to note the difference, right? Now, this Atma is the one which is the Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, along with the reflected consciousness, which is finite and traveling. So, what do we mean by traveling? What we mean by traveling is that at the time of death, right? At the time of death, the second Atma number 2, the invisible body, which is blessed by this Atma, right, has left the body, right, has left the physical body. So, when we say let the soul rest in peace, we are vaguely talking about this particular Sukshma Sharira, Karana Sharira, RC combination, which has left the body and traveled. It is very, very important for us to know this. So, when we say departed soul, it is Atma number 2. When we say Pitrukarmani must be done, Tarpanam must be done, Shraddham must be done, we are talking about Atma number 2, which is at the time of death, which will leave the body and it will travel to take on a new birth, right? So, here in this verse, Krishna has switched to Atma number 2. So, just as a person gives up worn out clothes and puts on other new ones, so also this Atma number 2 gives up worn out bodies and puts on other new ones and attains other new bodies. That is the interpretation of this verse, and I thought it is important for us to remind this. We talked about this quite a bit when we were doing this verse in chapter 2. I just wanted to make sure that we are all reminded of it, right? So, this is verse number 22. And then, after the first three topics, the fourth topic is Sita Prajna Lakshanani. If you remember, when Krishna had completed his talk on Karma Yoga, Arjuna came up with this question. Sita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. Can you tell me, O Krishna, what is the description of the wise man who is established in the Atma? How does the wise man speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? Right? So, he asked for this. Arjuna asked for this. And therefore, Lord Krishna starts this extra or bonus topic which is beyond Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Right? So, from 58 to 68, Sita Prajna Sadhanani was discussed. Okay? And here, Lord Krishna said, even after you sort of undergo, you are on the path of the spiritual study, continuation of scriptural study, which reminds me of my higher nature, is very, very important, because we operate at the ahankara or the ego level during daily transactions. So, we need shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam to remind us constantly of our higher nature, right? So, the sadhanani, that is the practices or exercises for a sitta prajna or to become a sitta prajna, is first exercise is continuation of scriptural study at all times and regularly, so that we are reminded about our true nature. The second exercise is imitate a jnani, right? Basically, observe a jnani and try and follow what he is doing. So, keep smiling, right? Brahma Bhyasaha. Practice to be a jnani. This itself will help you maintain a calm composure, the way you walk, the way you speak, right? And smiling, all of that. So, this is the second exercise. The third exercise is Damaha or self-sense control. The world is so full of expectations. So, if we fall for them constantly, then we will be unhappy without them. So, as Swamiji says, Damaha can be practiced in various ways, right? You can fast on, Upavasam on Ekadashi day, or you can have Maunavirdam on some days, like you don't have to speak, you can be Maunam. Yeah, you can avoid having coffee on some days to check whether you're really addicted to it or not. In different ways, you can practice sense control. This is the third exercise that Lord Krishna talks about. And the fourth exercise is shamaha or mental discipline, right? Any thought which is not in keeping with the Vedantic teaching, these thoughts may you not entertain. Nip it in the bud itself, right? And meditation also will help there. Mental discipline is keeping the bad thoughts itself away, right? So, very, very, very important point, right? So, these four exercises are sthita prajna sadhanani, right? So, a jnani basically follows all of this for life, but what the person who is on a path to become a sthita prajna also is can follow these four different exercises, right? And the mental discipline is also very, very important, because if you allow a wrong thought to come in, it can actually pull you away in a totally different direction, right? So all these four constitute the sthita prajna sadhanani, which was discussed from verse number 58 to 68 in great length. And here we saw some of the verses that were very important, extremely practical and relevant advice we saw here, which is verse 62. Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsaha, right? And this was very, very important, where we talked about the mental discipline or shamaha, right? For a person who dwells on sense objects, a fancy towards them arises, and from fancy, desire is born, and from desire, anger is born. So, a lot is talked about addictions, right? So, Krishna says, when we are experiencing the external world, there are always certain people, objects and situations which capture our attention depending on our personality, right? Different things will get registered, right? But we should be constantly aware, right? And we should know, we should filter and see whether that is something that I should take in my mind or not. If there is something that I do not want to dwell upon, I should move away from that, right? Using discrimination, right, before allowing that small sangha or small attraction to become a kama or extreme desire, right, that is very, very important. And intelligent people will nourish healthy desires, like desire for dharma is a healthy desire, to study scriptures is healthy, desire to refine my mind is healthy. So if they are all healthy desires, I should nourish it. But otherwise, if it is a harmful, powerful desire, I should remove it in the very beginning, right? It's exactly like liquor addiction, smoking, etc. Because the desire itself can lead to anger. Because if there is an obstacle standing between me and the object of desire, then that becomes an anger, right? So, very important verse we saw in 62. And 63 was a continuation of that, which is from anger arises delusion. Anger is an extremely unhealthy mental habit, right? Because it leads to impulsive actions and speech, right? So, when I do an action, Bhagavan has actually given me a discriminative power to think whether the consequences of the action are good or bad. This deliberating capacity has been given to us. So, it is very, very important for us to stop, think, right? And then react. Or so as Swamiji says, it is responding rather than reacting. He doesn't say you should not, you know, respond in a particular manner. He only says it should be conscious response after thinking through, so that your reaction is not coming from a delusion, right, or loss of discrimination. Very, very important point we saw in verse 63. And then 64 also, the set of 62, 63 and 64 are to be read together, and very important, right? And this is moving amidst sense objects with sense organs, and which are under the person's, the sthita prajna's control, and he is free from likes and dislikes. The self-controlled one enjoys tranquility. I think we also saw about an example of a tortoise which has pulled its limbs inside, right? And is able to stay equanimous, right? That is the example given, right? Prasadam adigacchati means basically one attains equanimity regardless of likes and dislikes. The mind remains tranquil, right? Here prasada means tranquility of the mind, right? Very important verses 62, 63 and 64. And of course, the 69th verse was a significantly important verse talking about how here the word, right, Sarva Bhutanam Yanisha, it refers to the absolute truth, right? Atma. This is a very profound verse, and basically the meaning of this is the jnani who is aware that Atma is my real nature, he is able to go through the rest of his life, right, as a wise man, right, and he takes whatever comes as a passing or as an entertainment, right. So the sage is awake to the Atma, right, which is not available to the others. Basically, the other Ajnanis do not know that their real nature is the higher nature, which is Atma. For the wise sage, right, the duality, that is the world is Nitya, the world is non-existent, only Atma is the reality behind the world. So the Sita Prajna is able to move about in this world with reveling in this thought, and is able to invoke his higher nature at will, and is able to take all the ups and downs in life with a equanimous or tranquil mind, right? So that is the meaning in summary of 69th verse, but it is a very, very profound verse. We saw in detail during the discussions in chapter 2, right? And 71 is also a very, very important verse. Vihaya kamanya sarvan, right? Puman sharati nisprahaha nirmamo nirahankaraha. The sthita prajna does not have ahankara and mamakara. Now, ahankara and mamakara, we discussed about the pancha anatma, right? In pancha anatma, the body and mind complex belong to ahankara, right? And mamakara is nothing but mine, which is my family, my possessions, my profession. That becomes the ahankara part. So, having given up all sense objects, that person who moves without craving and without the notion of I, aham and mama, enjoys peace. So that was verse 71, right, that we saw. So such a person enjoys peace of mind because of this attitude, and it is born out of Atma Jnanam, right. Without Jnanam, this inner freedom one can never discover, right. So, and then the ignorant person on the other hand is forced to depend on the world, right? So, the wise person depends on Atma or his higher nature for peace, security and happiness, and he looks upon the world as a source of novelty, entertainment, right, etc. But he never depends on it for his internal peace, security or happiness. So, this is what Krishna completes as part of the chapter 2, the last stanza. This is what Krishna concludes his teaching with. What happens, however, right, with Arjuna is that he is wondering at the end of this, he is wondering what has happened. We have had a discussion on, just think of it from Arjuna's angle. I asked Lord Krishna for the teaching. Yes, Lord Krishna first spoke about Jnana Yoga and its importance, right? And later on spoke about Karma Yoga and its importance. And finally, when I asked about who is a Sthita Prajna and what are its characteristics, Lord Krishna elaborately spoke about Sthita Prajna Lakshanani, right? And told me what are the benefits of the Sthita Prajna and all. So, at the end of it appears that maybe Jnana Yoga is the way to go, right? So, why is it that I should actually not drop everything and run away? So, this is a natural thought that will happen to somebody in Arjuna's case. Krishna has clearly said that the path is Karma Yoga followed by Jnana Yoga, and he has indicated that you are actually not ready for Jnana Yoga. You are supposed to, you know, complete your duties and responsibilities, and you are supposed to practice Karma Yoga. He has indicated that, but Arjuna, in the frame of mind that he is having this doubt. So, in chapter 3, which we will be seeing in the next class, we can actually start with that, and we will be seeing it in detail, because with this chapter 2 has been completed and I have summarized chapter 2 also. We will look at chapter 3 in detail, verse by verse, right? And so let me complete Purnamada before opening up for questions. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay. Anyone has questions? I can take them. I don't see anybody. Yeah, anybody needs to ask a question, can raise your hand, please. You can see it. There's a raised hand symbol. You can use that. Okay, there are some questions, so I'll just take them. Is 2.22 same as Stula Shariram and Sukshma Shariram? Venki Gangu. I am not able to understand the question here. So, Soumya, are you able to get this? 222. Is it Shloka number 22?
Yes, I think it is 22nd Shloka in the second chapter.
Let me just go to that first. Okay, I'll come back to this because I don't seem to find it readily. One second. What is making us choose the right or wrong path? Does our Atma correct us when we make mistakes? And is it due to lack of understanding of our consciousness, we are unable to understand Atma's advice? Does our Atma correct us? Okay, the interpretation of this question, if I assume that the Atma you are referring to here is Atma number 2, and which means it's the Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, as well as the reflected consciousness, the mind also comes under Sukshma Shariram, right? So, therefore, if you look at it that way, yes, your mind and intellect are available to you to make this decision. Your intellect has an independent deciding power, which is known as free will. This is not acting as per the Atma's advice. So that is the biggest difference between a human being and an animal. Because the human being has a free will and has the capacity, right, to make judgment calls using intellect, the person is supposed to make that decision. Atma doesn't advise you to do anything. So I hope I've answered this question. Whereas in the case of the animals, there is no question of judgment. The animals just go through their prarabdha. Can you please explain again what is Atma 1 and 2? Okay. Now, Atma 1 and 2, I hope you have gone through my earlier sessions, because one request, if you have not gone through Introduction to Vedanta, please definitely go through that and understand the Shariratrayam, that is Stula Sukshma Karana Shariram, as well as the pictorial representation of the various reflected consciousness. Because when we refer to here as Atma number 2 is nothing but the Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, that is two parts of the Shariratrayam, along with the corresponding reflected consciousness. And this is the part that carries the imprint of all our past karmas, right? The Papa Punya Karma, and therefore is kind of the blueprint for our future janmas also, in short. But I am not making justice to this because you have to go through all those sessions to understand. Okay? I think I have covered all the questions here. Okay. I'm very sorry that I did not realize that my audio was not on during Dhyana Shlokas. So from next week onwards, I will have your checklist and make sure that all of this is okay. But surely you can also chant along with me. That was the idea of chanting the Dhyana Shlokas. And just one second, let me see if any of the attendees have their hands up. I don't think so. So Soumya, I think it's over now. But there are people with question marks. So what does that mean, Soumya?
They are the people who have written something in the question pane. Most of it, oh. I think, was initially when they were saying that they were not able to hear the audio and then...
Yeah, I can see one person's raised hand. Mohana Valambe, I think.
Yes.
I'm just switching her on.
I just wanted to thank you for the class. This is my first class and that's all I want. Beautiful.
Okay.
Class.
Thank you. Thank you. Today was a summary, so I consciously did not go into the details. So next class onwards, of course, we will start the chapter 3 itself verse by verse. Huh?
Thank you very, very much once again.
Yeah. Hari Om then, and we will meet next Sunday, same time, 8:25, and we will start chapter 3. Thank you all.